guys, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And this is Nisha and William today, and Brian has some other schedule. So I'm pretty excited to talk to our wonderful guest. We have Scott Sessions, the Director of Marketing from HireVue. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nisha. Thanks for having me. Hi, William.
Glad to have you here with us today. So, Scott, give us a little about yourself. Talk a little bit about yourself so that our audience can know a little bit more about you.
Certainly. So I've been the director of marketing here at HireVue for nearly 3.5 years, and I have seen a tremendous amount of growth here. Prior to that, I had my own software company and am a little bit of a serial entrepreneur. And so we have this culture here around HireVue that everybody's an owner and everybody behaves that way. And so lots of entrepreneurs around here. And so I had a great time doing my own software business, but I did it during probably one of the worst times in second worst times in history. It was during the Great Recession. Raised some capital, got product almost to market, ran out of runway, and my wife said, "So, when are you going to go get a job?" So I had to go do that, and fortunate for me, I was able to land at HireVue.
Yeah, that's an uncomfortable conversation where I thought you were, hello. I thought, how are we? I'm looking at our savings account, and yeah.
That's
if you
exactly.
haven't been there, then you're not living, right?
I think you were a fly on the wall during that conversation, William.
Yeah. So do us a favor, and really I want to do this two ways. What's keeping you up at night? Like, what's occupying a lot of your top of mind for you? And then I also want to kind of give it into, because you interact with a lot of your customers and prospects, you get to kind of hear what's going to go on in their worlds as well. So what's keeping them up at night as well?
As we kind of did a little pre discussion about this between you and me, William, I've been thinking about this, and the thing that keeps me up at night as being responsible for marketing is how HireVue is perceived. We have invested a tremendous amount of money in our brand. We went through a rebranding 2.5 years ago, and I think we've been killing it. But that it doesn't stop there. We have we're doing our own hiring. And so when we have candidates, they're getting their first impression of who HireVue is. And so if they're not getting the best impression of who HireVue is, they're going to tell other people that, well, who is this HireVue? So I wanted to share a little example. We hire lots of people. We're growing rapidly, and we have terrific technology for that. But I don't want to talk about the technology. I had a friend who actually interviewed for a position. He said, you know what, the technology worked great, but Scott, nobody followed up with me. What's going on? And I was chagrined. I was mortified. I said, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean nobody followed up with you? Well, I didn't get the calls I expected, and I felt like I was only talking to technology. And that's not the process. It's supposed to, and I laid it out. Here's how it works. He says, that didn't happen with me. And so being responsible for our brand, I paused for a moment and said, okay, give me all the details. And so I took that feedback, and I actually sat down with our VP of HR here at the company. And I laid it out, and I said, we're all concerned about our brand and the impression that we're putting out there, and we need to fix this very quickly. And so from that, we got the hiring managers together. We're not that big that we can't do that. So we got hiring managers together and reemphasized, look, these candidates, they're excited. They're excited to want to come and do things here at HireVue. Of course, we're going to select the best ones, but we have to be communicative to all the candidates that, hey, you know what, you had great skills, but maybe you weren't a fit for us at this time, and at least communicate that out. And so we took it upon ourselves to take a major course correction and make sure that the feedback that I received from my friend never happened again. And so I know that's kind of opening up, you know, our backside a little bit, but I want to be fully, you know, honest, is that's what keeps me up at night, that it's not just our brand perception to our clients and prospects, but it's also to our candidates. It's practicing what we preach to our clients and our prospects and putting good process in place.
That's genius. How do you kind of keep how do you monitor? As a marketer would, like how do you monitor sentiment, like via social and Twitter and what's going on? Like, how do you measure that? And even to the point of like Glassdoor, the things that go on over in Glassdoor as a brand, how do you kind of interact or interface with that stuff?
So we first step is we have a survey at the end of every interview, and that's available to all of our clients. It's just part of our platform. And we're collecting that candidate survey data on a regular basis that, you know, give us your perception of the technology. Was the timing good? Did it fit with your schedule? So that's one data point. We are prolific in social media, and we're monitoring that almost 24/7. And so if issues come up, we take them head on. We don't shy away from things that, hey, you said you'd do this, but you're actually doing this. We're gonna address those issues. Fortunate for us, we have a great following, and they'll respond even before we get to respond on some issues and say, you know what, perhaps that was an anomaly, because here's how it actually has worked for me, or how I've seen it work. And so that's what we've seen in social. And then when it comes to Glassdoor, monitoring that on a regular basis to ensure that the ratings that our internal staff are providing are always the best. And if they're not, we take corrective actions. We actually do a quarterly staff survey about, you know, is your work environment pleasurable to you? Is it meeting your personal and physical needs and intellectual needs? And so we're always collecting that data to ensure that we're promoting ourselves the way we want to in the best possible light.
So as you look at your customers and you're interacting with them and the prospects, what's keeping them up at night? What's top of mind for them?
So it's one of my favorite parts of the work, or should I say the play, that I get to do every day. And I don't mean to be cliche on that, but Sunday night, I don't think, oh man, it's Monday. So I get to visit and work with a lot of our clients and even prospects. I do a lot of events around the year and around the country and the globe. And so I get to see and hear different things. Some of them are process. I can't get candidates through my process well enough because therefore my hiring managers are really frustrated with me and I'm losing sleep over it. Others are similar to what keeps me up at night. My process sucks and candidates are going away and tweeting out saying Acme companies couldn't handle a resume to save their lives, and then they have that to deal with. And so it really covers a broad spectrum. Others are commenting, I'm not finding high enough quality candidates, or I'm not delivering high enough quality candidates. How can I overcome that? Again, it's that hiring manager to recruiter relationship and making sure that they're delivering to their client in a sufficient and efficient manner.
Well, Scott, as you mentioned about the quality of candidates and the questions and the concerns that you are getting from your clients, you know, when we talk about, I'm just talking about video interviewing per se, you know, I normally do a Google Hangout. So there is a tendency that for me, very particularly, and for all the guests also, to talk to the screen that they are looking at so that there is a person in front of them. But for the other end, for them, I mean, for the interviewer, let's just say they are not able to see the candidate because they are looking at the screen and they're not looking at the camera. So there is a bias that is going on, that eye contact bias, because ultimately when we do a video interview, that body language matters, right? If it is a expression on your face or if it is an eye contact. So that's how people evaluate candidates. So do you see any kind of a biases like that are happening when your clients are doing video interviews?
Nisha, that's a great question. So with HireVue, there are actually multiple different types of interviews that can take place. Our clients typically start out with a screening interview or what we call an on-demand interview. And that's where our clients create questions, invite candidates to respond to those questions on their own time using a smart device with a camera, front-facing camera, or a laptop. And so the candidate will respond right into that camera. Now, as part of that, questions can include video-based questions, meaning a candidate can actually watch the interviewer ask the question and then respond using video or essay or multiple choice, even if it's a technical position, can write code. Candidates can also do job scenario questions where they have to observe or listen to an audio file of a customer service call gone bad, and they have to comment on that. So once that's done, the candidates finish their interview, it gets submitted, and the reviewer, recruiter, or hiring manager is notified that the candidate has completed the interview. Now, that hiring manager can watch that interview on their own time as well, so that they can observe that candidate's response and how their body language functions so that they can make an early determination. Here are 5 great candidates out of 30 that I now want to move to the next level with. That next level may be a live video interview. Now, keep in mind, all of these interviews are recorded, and that's a major differentiator from Skype or Google Hangouts, is you can actually create an interview ahead of time that all candidates will respond to the same questions for that particular requisition, and then the manager can review all of those on their own time and be consistent in their review process. So you talk about bias. Well, bias is really something that needs to be trained out of hiring managers and out of recruiters. They need to be looking for the qualities, skills, abilities that are going to best serve that role. And because our platform allows for a consistent interview, everybody answers the same questions in the same order, now the manager can start comparing best candidates based on knowledge, skills, abilities, and responses to wind up with those top 5 candidates to then move to that live video interview, also recorded, can be shared around for additional feedback from other hiring stakeholders. So once that's done, now out of those 5, you may have your top 2 candidates that by the time you bring them in for a face-to-face interview, you're ready to extend a job offer. You just want to have that one face-to-face that says, yep, this is the one, I'm ready to extend the offer. So it shortens the time, it improves the quality, and dramatically makes the process consistent.
Wonderful. Well, to our audience that are listening from the organization, those HR professionals, see, as you mentioned, that Google Plus, Skype, so these are also free tools that are available for the HR professionals that they are not using any third-party organizations to help with their video interviewing and all. So why and when an organization should use a third party, like example, HireVue, to aid their video interviewing?
So the other products that you're talking about are not enterprise-level tools. They don't have the ability to really schedule and create interviews for candidates to respond to. They are a social conversation site. That's it. And if you don't want to record, if you don't want to preload questions, I think that's terrific. In fact, I love talking to my mom through those devices all the time. But when I want a business application that's going to meet my business needs, I've got to turn to something like HireVue that allows me to have a controlled environment where I can get metrics and statistics out of and share that content with other stakeholders. The other freebie tools, they don't permit that.
That totally makes sense. What's the, in your mind, put your futurist hat on, what's the future of interviewing look like?
Wow. So we all started out, it started out with fax machines to get resumes back and forth, and then it went to email, and we started 10 years ago with video interviews. Well, even prior to that, there were some companies who requested audition tapes, a VHS or a beta tape, for those of you who can remember that far back. And so it's really evolved over time. In the last 3 years, even more so. In fact, we used to ship webcams to candidates. That was part of our service. We actually still do that. But 70% of our interviews 3 years ago, we shipped out webcams to all of those candidates. That is now in the single digits, I dare say even below 5% of all the interviews that we help to facilitate will actually ship out a webcam. So what does that mean? That interviews are going mobile, that the technology has really caught up to be able to facilitate these on-demand interviews so that candidates can interview anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And managers have more control over their schedules to be able to do that. Now, we announced an acquisition last week. We acquired an interview scheduling platform, formerly known as Reschedge. We're going to go through a rebranding and call it Coordinate, HireVue Coordinate. So the future of digital interviewing for HireVue is we're going to take control of the entire interview process, from scheduling all the way through to providing the tools that managers can review, make decisions on, and hire candidates. So Reschedge allows us to provide a platform that makes the live video interview and in-person interviews that need to be scheduled streamlined. One of the clients that is coming over found that prior to using the product called Coordinate now, it took about 5.2 days to schedule a round of interviews for a single candidate within the company. After they implemented Coordinate, that went to 1.7 days. There was still some jockeying back and forth, but a tremendous time savings. And so digital interviewing is going to become more automated so that the best candidates will bubble to the surface and that managers can spend the right time with the right candidates.
Genius. What are, from your perspective, and both you've interviewed, you've hired a ton of people through your career, and of course, because of where you sit in the ecosystem, you see a lot of interviews. And so the common pitfalls, common mistakes that we all make in interviews, what's if you had to build a short list of the common mistakes, what would be on that list?
Everybody thinks they know how to interview. That is the first and foremost. And we assume, hey, you're a manager, you must know how to conduct an interview. And I can see in my mind's eye all these HR professionals that are listening in going, tell me about it. They all think they can, but they can't, and they end up going off on tangents. Interviewing is a skill because the objective is, how do you elicit the information that you're looking for to really get to the best candidate? And so that is one of the biggest pitfalls. And they end up spending more time in small talk than actually learning about their knowledge, skills, and abilities. So forgive me for coming back to it, but that's where our platform allows for deep consistency so that you can get over the small talk and get into the heart of the matter much more quickly. William, that is the number one pitfall.
So if you look at the organization and the statistics that you have in your hand, what type of industries are mainly using video interviewing the most?
You know, I love this question. So some would think that it's one industry or another. We have clients that cover a broad spectrum. Hospitality, entertainment, engineering, oil, gas, mining, retail, and we're not heavy in any one of those verticals. We've got the medical profession, clients who are hiring nurses and hospital staff, even some doing doctors. So no one is immune from bad interviews. And so every interview that happens, our mantra is every interview, a higher view, because interviews happen everywhere, and they all have the opportunity to improve.
How does video interviewing and digital interviewing and all the work that's being done, how does that relate or intersect with internal mobility?
You mean for people moving around within the same organization?
Yes, sir.
So some of our clients use our platform for a term we call onboarding. Now, onboarding has a variety of definitions. We use the term onboarding this way. We've just hired a new candidate. They will be starting in 3 weeks. We've invited them to do what's called an onboarding or an open view interview, an onboarding interview. And they will be invited to respond to questions that relate to their interests, why they joined the company, what their favorite drink is. And then once they've completed that 3 weeks ahead of time, their team is now watching that interview internally. So that on day one, when Jennifer starts, people are like, hey, Jennifer, you like to rock climb? I like to rock climb. You like Coke? I like Coke. And so you accelerate that process. So that's one way. Then interdepartment or intercompany mobility is, hey, we've got some open positions. We're going to open it up internally before we go externally. So now recruiters have an opportunity to post positions internally so that people can interview and have their interviews on file in their profile within the system, so that as new positions come up, they go, hey, John, I really wanted him last time. He wasn't available, but now he is. Or I had one position and two great candidates. Now I've got a second position open. Now I want to hire him. And because his interview is already completed within the system, they can bring him over much more seamlessly. So the platform is not just outward-facing. It's inward-facing as well, so that for succession planning, you may be, preparing and looking at who's going to take this next vice president role. Who of these four directors? It may not be available for a year, but you're working and nurturing these individuals and perhaps doing a quarterly interview with them, collecting that information so that senior level management can be reviewing these on an ongoing basis and rating them, sharing those ratings to determine who of those four or five directors might be taking that next VP spot.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going back to one of your previous points. As you said, digital interviewing is becoming more automated. So when you say automation, how does that impact candidates' experience?
So part of the survey that I talked about earlier is asking the candidate how the experience was for them. If you're familiar with NPS, and hopefully most of your listeners are, Net Promoter Score, where candidates are asked a series of questions, and basically, are they willing to refer that experience to a friend versus, wow, that wasn't a very good experience, I'm not going to even talk about it. We have a tremendously high Net Promoter Score. In fact, I think most recently it was in the 70s, and our clients are experiencing that exact same thing for the candidate experience because the technology enables candidates to do the interview on their own time versus I have to call in sick to work because I've got an interview and I have to lie. Most people don't like to do that. And so they'd rather say, hey, I can do that interview. I'm going to do it at 8 o'clock tonight. And because it's on my own time and it's recorded, it's going to go through and get the same evaluation that any other candidate is getting. Plus, they're aware that other people will be watching that interview versus I called in sick for one interview, one person saw me, and that was the end of it. So technology and automation is allowing candidates to be seen by more individuals and do it on their own time, and they love it.
All right, Scott, I've got to ask you your favorite interview question.
Oh, wow. Put me on the spot. I like to do questions that start with, tell me about a time. Interview questions that are yes or no's, you don't get anywhere. And so I like to do, tell me about a time when something went horribly wrong. What did you do, and how did you fix it, and how did you deal with it? And that may relate to an event. It may relate to a webinar, as I'm responsible for. You know, tell me about a time when the webinar crashed, mid-webinar. What did you do, and how did you cope with it? And it really gives me some deep insight into the individual to be able to figure out, can they handle pressure in high-stress situations, and are they quick on their feet to think through the problem, solve it, and resume with minimal downtime in that particular scenario. So those are the types of questions that are my favorites.
Wonderful. Well, we have about 3 minutes left at this point. Scott, there's one quick last question, and that would be, you know, about money. What would be the true cost of video interviewing when we compare it to a normal face-to-face interview?
So this is a question that comes up all the time, of course. And three years ago, we used to talk about travel costs. And because you're flying people in, flying people out, and realizing, I just set up 4 interviews for somebody to come in today. The first interview, they realize it's not the right person, but now I have to do the courtesy interview. So there are, of course, the hard costs, which are associated with travel. The real costs of interviewing are manager time, executive's time. And that varies for every company. Some it's $150 an hour. Some it's $400. Some it's $50. It just depends on what that cost per hour is. And if you put a value on that and say, look, there's an opportunity cost here. This manager developing a product or selling a product could spend that hour selling and generate $10,000 for me, and waste an hour spending $150. So it could be a $10,000 loss for one manager, one interview. And so when we sit down with our clients, we're going to do that evaluation with them. We're going to create this business case that says, how much time does it take you to do an interview now? Here's the time that you can save, and here are the dollars that are going to be saved so that HR can actually become a profit center instead of a cost center.
Well, Scott, that's wonderful, and thank you so much for sharing your lunch with us. It's been a wonderful conversation. So where can people connect with you and say hi to you and probably continue this conversation online?
They can connect with me on my Twitter handle, which is @ScottSessions. LinkedIn, it's linkedin.com/ScottSessions. Or you're welcome to email me, SSessions. I've monopolized the market on S's. That's 5 S's like Sam. SSESSIONS @hireview.com.
And do you have any travel plans so they can come and do a handshake with you?
Well, actually, I'll be at IBM Connexa at the end of the month. I'll be in London at HR Tech London in March, and then a variety of events in between there.
Wonderful. So to our wonderful audience, thank you so much for tuning to Drive2HR, and stay tuned. We will talk to you all next week with yet another wonderful guest, and it's been a wonderful journey throughout. Thank you all, and wish you all a very wonderful rest of the day.